Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, did you hear that Fox News update? I think all of you heard that Fox News update just a couple minutes ago. It was a report about Tren de Aragua. It was a report about this Venezuelan gang that's been operating down in Aurora, Colorado. Look, we were lectured by the mainstream media. Even the local liberal TV stations here in Montana were sharing stories on their Facebook pages about, oh, come on, these stories about violent Venezuelan gang members running this apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado. That's all overblown. Now we just know that anytime you see local liberal TV media lecturing you about, oh, come on now, this is not a big deal. No, nothing to see here, folks. I mean, the local TV stations have become like the cop in South Park. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving. Nothing to see here. Which is quite the contrast because, you know, local TV stations used to be the, look at this over here. Look at what you got to see over here. Look at this big story. Now they're like, nope, nothing to see. No news over here. It's like they're like the opposite of news stations now. They're like, no news. No, nothing to see here. No. I don't know why you guys are watching TV right now. No, nothing going on. My goodness. And now you've heard of these arrests that have taken place down in Colorado of these Venezuelan gang members. Man, I gotta find this. Where was the? I know I shared it via Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. But the Babylon Bee, man, the Babylon Bee just nailed it. My kind of rant later on in the show yesterday was about how, oh, so all you got all these folks in the media, including local liberal TV media, that have been sharing these stories, trying to fact check Donald J. Trump from the debate the other night, where he was talking about how these migrants in Springfield, Ohio, have been killing, you know, ducks and geese and cats and things like that. There's been reports. There's been 911 calls. There's been people testifying at the city commission talking about these reports. But of course, the pearl clutching, nothing to say here, folks, liberal media. Oh, come on. There's no way that these cats are being killed. There's no way these ducks and these geese are being killed by migrants. And my rant, you know, kind of later on in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday was, why are they clutching their pearls over this? I mean, you've had illegal aliens actually kill women and children, but the media is like outraged at the suggestion that somehow illegal aliens would kill cats, as if killing somebody's cat is worse than killing somebody's kid. The Babylon Bee nailed it yesterday. Here's the satirical headline they produced. Media assures Americans that migrants haven't killed any cats, just women and children. Media assures Americans that migrants haven't killed any cats, just women and children. Hey, I got some great post-debate analysis that I want to share with you. I didn't want to talk about the presidential debate too much today, but this is some great post-debate analysis I'll share next.
Securing America.
9/11 remembrances served as the backdrop Wednesday for a Washington Post-sponsored discussion with Assistant Attorney General for National Security Matt Olson, who admitted the threat level against the U.S. remains undiminished.
We continue to face a very complex and dynamic threat landscape when it comes to terrorism.
Olson says we face threats from groups like Al-Qaeda or ISIS and state-sponsored terrorism from countries like Iran. But the biggest worry is single individuals or small cells already in the U.S.
They typically can be radicalized online using encrypted ways of communicating. And, of course, inside the United States, they have easy access to military-grade weapons.
Olson says the terrorism landscape has become more complex since 9/11, but also believes
there's not an organization in the world better equipped or more dedicated to taking on the terrorism threat than the FBI.
Kevin Lutz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly cloudy skies and more showers and a few storms around the area as well today. High temperatures ranging from around 60 in Bozeman to about 70 in Billings. For tonight, more showers continue on and off. Low temperatures from the mid-40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. Still seeing a few showers possible into the day on Friday as well. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
A big story involving Liberal Senator John Tester. This is very interesting because it's rare that you would see one of the local hospitals come out and basically be this bold and basically call him out, call out his campaign for straight up lying. Anyway, we'll get to that story here at some point this morning. Something that caught my eye on social media last night. This was a post by the Central Montana Medical Center. But first, like I mentioned, you know, we had so many great phone calls yesterday talking about the debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. So many great phone calls throughout the morning, so I thought, God, we don't need to spend too much time talking about it today. Although, I mean, heck, you know, you guys end up deciding the direction of this show when we take your phone calls. So you never know which direction we're really going to go. But this was really interesting. Do you guys remember when we had a guest on the program? His name is John Graves. He's the CEO of an organization called Million Voices, and if you missed it when he was on the show, let me see if you search Montana Talks Million Voices fact sheet, something like that. The headline is this: handy new tool for the 2024 elections in Montana. Go read that headline if you missed it. And you'll have the information where you can basically send a quick text message to his organization, and they will send you back a candidate fact sheet for Montana that you can then share with your friends here in Montana if they have questions about, you know, where the candidates, you know, especially in the Senate race, stand on the issue. Anyway, John Graves, this guy is very good when it comes to data, especially data when it comes to politics. If he was on with Glenn Beck a while back, but he shared some interesting post-debate analysis. Yesterday on the show, I mentioned how CNN did kind of a flash poll right after the debate, and the support for President Trump on the economy actually went up after the debate. You know, all the talking heads and the pundits were saying, oh, Kamala Harris was the clear winner of this debate. And it's like, yeah, but on the issues that matter to the American people, Donald Trump won. That was my argument yesterday. Anyway, CNN had this flash poll that said, hey, actually, the support for Trump went up on the economy in particular after that debate. So for these people who said, oh, Kamala Harris clearly won the debate. Yeah, for political talking heads that are, you know, that see this whole thing as some sort of academic exercise, like this is some sort of forensics competition in a high school classroom. Oh, well, she scored this point, she scored that point. Yeah, but nobody believes that she believes what she actually said during this debate. She still didn't tell us who she actually is and what she actually stands for. Instead, she basically just flip-flopped on everything. But anyway, the numbers that were shared by John Graves come from the Trafalgar Group. They did a 2024 presidential survey, swing state post-debate survey here, and I've got the numbers in front of me here. And what's very interesting is here, they say, okay, prior to the debate, How would you describe who you plan to vote for in the 2024 election? And Donald Trump had the slight edge over Kamala Harris. Who do you think won the debate? The Trafalgar Group asks. 55% to only about 43% for Trump. 55% think that Kamala Harris won the debate. Okay, so after the debate, if you had to vote tomorrow, who would you vote for? The support for Donald Trump went up. The support for Donald Trump went up by nearly 8%. So isn't that really funny here? Is that, okay, pre-debate, who are you going to vote for? Okay, who do you think won the debate? And if, according to the Trafalgar Group, a clear majority of folks that they surveyed thought that Kamala Harris won the debate. And it didn't matter. The support for Donald J. Trump actually increased. It actually went up even further. And see, and that was the point that I was trying to make yesterday, is that you know, a lot of Trump supporters, they were so disappointed. They were hoping for this knockout punch. But this was a debate just like what we saw. And Mark Lauder and I discussed this in the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, where Donald Trump sets these landmines in place. And Donald Trump knows who his audience is. He knows exactly who he is talking to, particularly those swing state voters in what many would refer to as the Rust Belt states, you know, Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, et cetera. That's exactly who he was talking to. And that's why one of the things that he brought up that really got under the skin of Kamala Harris was Kamala Harris and her support for banning fracking, and Kamala Harris and her support for gun control. And that really got under Kamala Harris's skin because she knows that that's what really hurts her in states like Pennsylvania and Ohio, Wisconsin, hurts the Democrats here in Montana as well. And so that's why, you know, Kamala Harris was like, I want another debate. I want another debate. I want another debate, because she must have known, or her campaign must have known, that she did not deliver on the most important issues that matter to the American people, and especially swing state voters and especially undecided voters. But John Graves, the CEO of Million Voices, basically says it comes down to this line. It's the economy, stupid. Anyway, more reaction coming up right after this.
Democracy 24.
Crypto corporations shelling out this election season to the tune of $119 million. Now, that represents almost half the corporate money spent this cycle. And most of that is going to a PAC called Fairshake. Make sure the money is exclusively supporting House and Senate races where a pro-crypto candidate has a shot at winning. Fairshake telling Fox Business, quote, our mission is clear. Support candidates who embrace innovation, want to protect American jobs, and are committed to working across the aisle to get things done and oppose those who do not. And the reality is, the crypto vote could move the needle. One in five Americans own crypto, and 73% of those share a candidate's stance on crypto will impact their vote. Former President Trump has been all in, even teasing a decentralized finance platform from the Trump Organization. VP Harris's team has been meeting with industry leaders, but as of now, has shared no concrete campaign stance. Kelly O'Grady, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northlund. It was quite the sight yesterday on the steps of the Denver City and County Building as a diverse stakeholder group from members of the Denver City Council, gourmet chefs, restaurant workers, and more allies joined Colorado livestock producers to rally against Initiative 309. The ballot measure would ban meat processing facilities in the city and county of Denver. It would also make it unlawful to wear items containing fur like cowboy hats. Now, the primary facility affected by the initiative, if it were to pass, is Superior Farms, the nation's largest lamb processor and the source of nearly all lamb found in restaurants and grocery stores in Colorado and across the West. It would have an impact on producers nationwide. Our network's Rachel Gable will join us with an in-depth look at all the grassroots advocacy that is taking place, not just yesterday in Denver, but across the state and nation during our Midday Ag Report as livestock producers rally against Initiative 309. When we come back, we'll check in with a cattle rancher on a trade mission in Japan. More to come next.
Cattle producers, you're invited to the 2024 Montana Angus Tour, September 17th through the 19th, hosted by the Central Montana Angus Association. Montana has long been known as the seed stock capital of the world, and you'll see some of the world's finest Angus genetics on display. Golf tournament is September 17th, tour September 18th and 19th. For more information and to register online, visit mtangus.org. Angus cattle and producers from the heart of Central Montana.
Walter Schweitzer, president of Montana Farmers Union, inviting you to attend this year's convention, October 17th through the 19th, in Whitefish at the Grouse Mountain Lodge. Our keynote speaker this year will be Zach Ducheneau, administrator for the USDA's Farm Service Agency. Come cultivate community and debate grassroots policy that will support family farms and ranches at the Montana Farmers Union's annual convention. Register at MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
This week, a delegation of cattle, hog, corn, and soybean producers are in Japan on a trade mission with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. All these ag producers are working to strengthen ties with Japanese importers, consumers, and retailers alike. Potomac, Montana cattle rancher Justin Iverson is on the trip representing the Montana Beef Council.
The Japanese consumer is very driven by quality and taste, and they absolutely highly value grain-finished beef. They're not interested in grass-finished. They can get that from Australia if they want, but they actually prefer very high-end grain-finished. They like the eating quality, they like the texture, they like the eating experience. And so they want to know how we are finishing our cattle, how we are selecting our genetics, how we raise them on the ground. They wanted to see pictures of our ranches. Somewhat interested in sustainability. That's a little bit less for them. They are very concerned about the environment. They want to know that we're healthy and we're safe, but they know that the American producer has very high quality and very high standards for environmental care. And so it's not the biggest driver for them. It really comes down to the eating experience.
Iverson emphasized the economic impact of beef exports, with Japan being a top market, exporting premium cuts like strip loin, short ribs, and other products like beef tongue and others that aren't desirable in the United States, help American producers maximize profits by adding nearly $400 in carcass value. You can watch or listen to the entire conversation with rancher Justin Iverson on a trade mission to Japan. Just visit westernagnetwork.com. I'm Lee Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think it was Jesse Waters on Fox News, Jesse Waters Prime Time last night, that also, captured even further what I just told you about in the data from the Trafalgar Group, where even the people who said, Kamala Harris won the debate, and yet the support for Donald Trump increased after that debate. I think Hugh Hewitt had a line in a FoxNews.com op-ed earlier this morning that I read where he said, you can win the battle but lose the war. So even if you think Kamala Harris won the battle at the debate the other night, she still lost the war, because Donald Trump not only talked about the issues that actually matter to the American people, but Donald Trump already has a track record of success, and Kamala Harris, more importantly, has a track record of failure these last 3.5 years. Did you guys see Joe Biden wearing the Trump hat yesterday? I know, I thought it was fake at first, too. It was real. Apparently, he was meeting with some firefighters, and one of them gave him their Trump 2024 red hat, and he actually put it on. Absolutely hysterical. Let's get into the phone lines here. We got Mike in Big Timber already up rolling this morning. Mike, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Thank you for taking my call, Aaron. This illegal mass migration to Springfield, Ohio, 20,000 individuals, that's one-third of their population. The question I have is, where are they living? How did they get housing?
That's a good point. Who was it? Somebody made a good point. Sean and Shelby just messaged us on the app here. He says the Biden administration, with the blessing of the Rhino mayor of Springfield, this says Missouri, but it's Ohio, flew 22,000 illegals into a city of 60,000 people. Infrastructure cannot adapt that quickly, including food services. They need to eat more than their fingernails. So even if people are outraged by these Haitian migrants eating ducks and geese and cats and dogs potentially, well, what are they supposed to eat when you overwhelm a city with services like that? I mean, yeah, food services, everything would be in short supply, right?
Well, yes, but the question is, they had to be prearranged housing for them. You just can't have them living out there on the street. Think about Big Timber, 2,000 population or whatever. You add 600 or 700, where are they going to live in here in this town? Behind the parking lot, behind the fort? Or out there at the town pump?
Well, don't give them ideas, because what do they think this is, Bozeman? You know, because that's exactly what they did in Bozeman. Oh, yeah, flood the town with people from other places, and then the Liberal City Commission just let people just go live out on the street, do whatever they want to do, right? You think about it, like this Springfield, Ohio is similar size as Bozeman, for example. Imagine if they flooded 20,000 Back to Mike and Big Timber. Yeah, Mike, thanks for sticking around there. So, what else did you want to share?
Well, the only thing I can think of is they flew them in. The airport is south of town. Something had to be prearranged for them to have a place to live. 22,000 people just can't be standing around, or sitting on their duffs somewhere on the streets. It's impossible. So something had to be prearranged, and Democrats like to do that. They'll prearrange. Look at the debate. Everything was prearranged. So
yeah, that's right. It was a staged ambush. That's right. And yet Donald Trump fought his way through it and appears to be winning the war based off of the insight that we're getting already here. All right, Mike, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. That meme or that satirical headline from the Babylon Bee really nailed it. Media assures Americans that migrants haven't killed any cats, just women and children. It's really sad when you hear these reports coming out of Springfield, Ohio. There was a story that I just saw earlier this morning where a father, his 11-year-old son, was killed by one of these Haitian migrants there. Why don't you hear the media clutching their pearls over that one? Why aren't the liberal local TV stations here in Montana sharing that story? No, instead, they're downplaying what's going on in places like Springfield, Ohio. Gary in Billings next up. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. As I was skimming through the TV last night, I got a hold of Glenn Beck on his talk show where Camellia lied 25 different times of all the things that accusing Donald Trump of. And he said that's what they do, is they throw that out there that he's going to do that, but they're already doing it. So it's just really sad when Donald Trump wants to save the country. And I've never seen a person that goes on TV and acts like she's a schoolgirl cheerleader.
Well, that was your impression of Kamala Harris. Yeah, so Glenn Beck looked at 25 false claims and hoaxes by Kamala Harris. I just tweeted out a Breitbart news story where they've got 21 false claims and hoaxes by Kamala Harris. I think the biggest one for a couple of the biggest ones for our listeners here in Montana, of course. Harris claimed that she and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, are, quote, not taking anyone's guns away. This is the woman who is on camera talking about a mandatory gun buyback program where she will mandatory take your guns away. But see, that's the thing, is that she just said whatever she wanted to say. Didn't matter if it was true or not. And then she never was held accountable by ABC fake news moderators last night. And then the other one was her claim that she doesn't support a ban on fracking and that she made that clear in 2020. She never made that clear in 2020. The only thing she did make clear is that she personally supports a ban on fracking.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Sprague. It's Montana's first real shot of fall weather, at least west of the Divide, with the National Weather Service issuing winter weather advisories for higher elevations above 6,500 feet in areas like Glacier National Park and the Bitterroot Range. And unlike that brief storm that hit some locations a couple of weeks back, this one looks to be more widespread, with warnings out for hikers and hunters to be ready for cold, raw weather. Heavy rain is also predicted in the valleys, but unfortunately, rainfall east of the Divide looks to be more limited. Unlike last time, when some people got surprised by the snow at Logan Pass, Glacier National Park decided to close the alpine section of the Going to the Sun Road yesterday. It's expected to stay closed through Friday morning, depending on conditions. The young Kalispell soccer player who was struck by lightning last month is out of intensive care. Family members say the teen continues to make progress in his recovery. A second player and a coach were injured when the strike happened during soccer practice as a thunderstorm moved through the Flathead Valley. An online fundraiser has now collected more than $71,000 in pledges to help with his recovery. A week after sending a letter to Montana school districts encouraging them to completely ban cell phones in the classroom, Governor Gianforte is taking that campaign on the road as part of his latest statewide tour. Jason Laird brings us the update.
Governor Greg Gianforte is continuing to make a push for cell phone-free schools in Montana. While speaking at Superior Schools this week, Gianforte cited the need to take away the distractions of cell phones for students to be more productive in the classroom. He noted that Superior Schools has already implemented similar policies and applauded the district's efforts. Gianforte's comments come after he wrote a letter to schools around the Treasure State asking them to take steps to make sure that students are off of their phones and focused on academics. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
The governor maintains research shows that the phones are a distraction to learning in our schools. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner. They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hail.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we had a few messages that came in on our Montana Talks app towards the end of the show yesterday. So, unfortunately, I didn't get those read over the air before we ran out of time. But Kestrel in Billings says, I don't even know why we even have debates. All it ever is, the Republican being grilled by the Democrat candidate and the Democrat cheerleading by the so-called moderators. The only reason the Democrats agree to debates is because they want an air of legitimacy to this deal they have planned in 2024. You already know the softball the Democrat candidates will get, and then will get declared the winner. What's the point, is what Kestrel in Billings had to say about the debates. Let's see. Hey, this is great. We got a live guest with us here in the early morning hours of the show, none other than Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Senator, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Yesterday, at this exact same time, I actually shared your full remarks from the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony for the fallen service members who were killed during that terrorist attack at the Abbey Gate during the disastrous withdrawal. And first off, I know our fellow veterans out there across Montana would want to say thank you to you for fighting for that recognition for these fallen warriors. You sponsored the legislation and saw it through to the finish.
Well, it was a very dark day in our nation's history because of the Biden administration's incompetence. You know, Kamala Harris tried to spin it differently during the debate. My dad's a Marine. I told that story on that terrible day of August 26, 2021, when Cindy and I were driving across western Montana headed towards an event in my pickup when the news broke of what happened there at Abbey Gate. And my dad was my first instinct to make a phone call to, so I called Dad's cell. Mom and Dad live in Bozeman. Dad's 85. Mom's 82. You know, Dad served in the Marine Corps. In fact, was Bobby Houck Sr.'s Marine buddy and former Sigma Chi there at University of Montana going way back. You know, these are deep Montana roots and deep relationships. But, of course, when you're in the Marine Corps, there is a special bond, no doubt. And so I called Dad. And instead of Dad picking up the cell phone that morning, my mom picked it up. And I said, have you heard the news, the terrible news coming out of Afghanistan? I'd like to talk to Dad about it. And my mom said, your dad just can't talk right now. He was so struck by that tragedy. It takes a lot for a tough old Marine to not be able to talk to a son of a, but my dad emotionally couldn't even talk. And I mean, this is such a gut punch to so many in the military. And it was an honor yesterday to be able to present that Medal of Honor to these 13 Gold Star families.
Well, and it also was a kind of a sobering reminder. You know, it was kind of odd that this presidential debate was held the night before the 9/11 anniversary of the terror attacks against this country. But it was kind of a sobering reminder of. And something that really got downplayed by the ABC fake news moderators is the fact that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester have got us on the brink of World War III. And those of us who were alive on 9/11, we remember exactly where we're at, and we remember exactly what we felt. And it was very similar to that phone call that you and your dad had, regarding the 13 fallen. We remember how everything can change in one day, and this was something that really the seriousness facing this country was not portrayed by the ABC fake news moderators the other night.
Look, I think when history books are written, we'll look back starting on August 26th of 2021, that disastrous withdrawal by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They were date-driven and politically driven with that withdrawal. They wanted to put a nice little bow on the package prior to the 9/11 there in 2021. And they did not take the advice of the military leaders. Of many foreign diplomats were saying this is a really bad idea. You know, Tim Sheehy has been so articulate and passionate on this. This is one of the motivating factors for him to get into this political race was what happened at Abbey Gate. Because we left behind these interpreters, these Afghan interpreters, to be slaughtered by the Taliban. I mean, a complete mess because you had politicians running the war instead of letting the military really dictate and drive what needed to be done to do the right thing. And at that moment, if you look back on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's approval ratings, they sunk after that day, and rightfully so, and it never, ever recovered. That was really the beginning of the end of the Biden-Harris administration. But it's bigger than that, because the weakness that was projected by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris then was exploited by Putin when he then decided to invade Ukraine. So, and then it was exploited by the Iranians when they amped up their pressure and eventually attacked Israel, of course, green-lighting the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah. I mean, this all goes right back to the Democrats, and that's John Tester, it's Kamala Harris, it's Joe Biden. This left agenda that believes in appeasement as it relates to our enemies instead of the Reagan doctrine of peace through strength. And that's why this election is so important, Aaron. I mean, I'm passionate, and I know so many Montanans are as well. It's so important that Tim Sheehy's elected to the United States Senate. He is the 51st senator. We win Montana, we win back the Senate majority, and we retire Chuck Schumer. The eyes are all on Montana. And by the way, I just got breaking news. We're sitting here on the phone. The Cook Political, which is one of the most respected prognosticators on elections, everybody watches it, it's kind of the inside baseball. They just moved the U.S. Senate race in Montana from toss-up to lean Republican because the increasing strength we're seeing from Tim Sheehy as Montanans are saying we're behind Sheehy and it's time to retire John Tester.
That's right. And I saw I was out on vacation for a few days, but I saw the AARP, which is, of course, a very left wing outfit. But the AARP did their own poll on the U.S. Senate race here in Montana. And even the AARP poll has Tim Sheehy leading John Tester 49-41%. I think Montanans are finally seeing through John Tester. And as Ryan Zinke puts it, his 350 pounds of BS is what we've been seeing.
What's happening right now, but look, you know, we need to put on our helmets and our Kevlar between now and election day because the Democrats are desperate. Schumer and the Tester campaign will be throwing everything they've got at Sheehy. I mean, I'm already getting reports they're buying these full-page ads in a rural Montana weekly paper saying that Tim Sheehy is going to shut down rural hospitals. That is 100% a lie fabricated by the Tester campaign, and it is time to punch back against these lies. They're desperate. They're spreading lies. They've got seniors on these commercials for John Tester saying, she's going to take away my Medicare, my Social Security, and all that. That's complete baloney. It's lies. Montanans aren't buying it. They're not going to allow Tester and Schumer to disparage an American war hero and Tim Sheehy. And that's why Tim Sheehy is going to win on November 5th. And he's going to be a great colleague of mine back here in Washington as an American war hero and a great senator from the state of Montana.
Well, and on that very topic, I just saw this last night. The Central Montana Medical Center, to your point about these fake, phony, full-page ads that Tester's campaign has purchased in some of these local newspapers, the Central Montana Medical Center felt compelled to speak out and say, hey, basically, they called John Tester out for lying. I'll share more with our listeners on what the CMMMC in Lewistown said. But they basically called John Tester out for lying and claiming that these hospitals are going to be shut down.
Yeah, I tell you, I wish John Tester would stand in front of the people of Montana and explain to them, first and foremost, why he voted against every one of President Trump's Supreme Court nominees, why he voted against the Trump tax cuts, why he voted against virtually every other court nominee that Trump put up. And on the other hand, when Joe Biden's elected, he supported the woke Supreme Court judge that I voted against, why he's supporting all these terrible judges, these woke left judges that are currently going through the United States Senate. We can't stop him right now because we don't have the majority. Why he continues to side with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That's what needs to be talked about in this election, not these personal attacks on Tim Sheehy. And that's why they're continuing these terrible attacks against him, is because they can't talk about the issues. If they talked about the issues, this would be a landslide victory for Tim Sheehy. I mean, it's good to see these polls showing Sheehy up consistently. That's good news. But look, this race is not over by any means. It's time to put our heads down, double down, and we've got to make sure that we show up on November 5th and soundly elect Donald J. Trump as our next president and send Kamala Harris into retirement and bring Tim Sheehy back to Washington. He will support Donald Trump. That's why that rally we had in Bozeman on August 9th, which I'm sure many of your listeners either were there or got to hear about it or watch it, it was so incredible because President Trump sent a very strong message. Montana matters. It's Tim Sheehy. Think about this for a minute.
That's right.
Trump is fighting in all these battleground states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada. Why did he come to Montana? He's going to win Montana by 20 points. He came to Montana for one
important
reason. Tim Sheehy.
That's right. All right, got to take a quick break. Stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
How is it possible for ABC to have a debate with two presidential candidates and not ask the one candidate that supports taxpayer-funded sex change surgeries for illegal immigrants and convicts to not come up as a big issue? How is it that they never really pushed to get the answer? Do you support any restriction on late-term abortion? You didn't get an answer. How does she get away? Donald Trump did hold her accountable to this. On day one, I'm going to fight inflation and immigration. Not a single question about raising corporate taxes, wealth taxes, estate taxes, capital gains taxes, unrealized capital gains taxes. All of these issues didn't come up last night. How are the American people served by this debate?
Check.
check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called Goldco the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Thankfully, Senator Steve Daines is able to stick around with us for a few more minutes here before we wrap up the hour. Senator, you know, one of the things I've been noticing, first off, you're exactly right. It's up to us. It's because not only is the Democrat Party desperate, John Tester and Chuck Schumer are desperate, but the liberal media is desperate. And so they are desperately jumping on every fake news attack they can against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. So it's up to us to get the word out. It's up to us to get our friends and neighbors out to vote and vote early, if possible, as well. But it's even crazy to me how the local liberal media is even downplaying this big story out of Springfield, Ohio, about the migrants there. Actually, women and children have been slaughtered by illegal aliens, but yet the media clutches their pearls and pretends that somehow migrants aren't eating animals like ducks or cats, et cetera.
Well, I tell you, you see what the liberal media is doing to suppress news that in some way might help conservatives and great Americans like Tim Sheehy. Look what's going on, even what happened at the University of Montana, where you've got the Democrat, the Tester campaign out there trying to find, you know, women athletes that they can basically buy off with NIL to support his campaign. And we have a courageous woman athlete at the University of Montana who says, wait a minute, Senator Tester, you voted to allow men to compete in women's sports. Why wasn't that a bigger story in Montana, Aaron? That hits us right in the gut in Montana. They know that's a terrible issue for the Democrats and John Tester to push back against this woke agenda. Aaron, we're parents of two sons and two daughters. As a dad of two daughters, I'm just outraged by the left in terms of safety and fairness to think they're continuing to allow supporting men to compete in women's sports. Why wasn't that a bigger story, Aaron, in Montana? Because the liberal media suppresses it and because it might hurt John Tester.
Oh, exactly. And I saw one of the TV stations in Missoula finally did a story on a Friday night, and they interviewed all these Democrats, and they didn't even interview the young lady who broke the story. They didn't interview any of these female student athletes at the University of Montana who rejected endorsing Tester because of his vote against women's sports. And it's just like, my goodness, you guys can't even do basic journalism anymore.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love to add some of these woke leaders in the NCAA now with Title IX, I like to ask them, why do we have women's sports and men's sports in college basketball, in volleyball? Why do we have women's teams and men's teams? I like them to say, you know, there's a biological difference between men and women, and that's why. But you will never, ever hear them say that because those woke agenda propagated by Kamala Harris and Senate liberals, including John Tester, who are literally on the record voting for this, Aaron. They need to be held accountable because I know Montanans are sick and tired of the shift in our culture, it's going to take leadership to bring us back to common sense, and that's exactly what Tim Sheehy does. He will be aligned with where the heart and soul of Montana is, instead of this far-left D.C. crazy woke agenda.
Well, and it's interesting, these crazy woke folks have been attacking Bridger Aerospace. Robbie Starbuck did a takedown on the woke leftist trying to tear down Bridger Aerospace at the request of Chuck Schumer and crew. I'm going to play that Robbie Starbuck audio later this morning. I meant to get to it yesterday. Either way, Senator Steve Daines, great to chat with you as always. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Aaron. Always good to join you.
Yeah, great to be with you. All right, let's see. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, normally David Noble joins us here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour, but, you know, he did a great job filling in for me for several days while I was out on vacation. So he may be wanting to focus on his day job in the 7 o'clock hour, but if he makes – hey, he's here. I'm excited. All right, good. Good news.